Good morning. I'm Doug Rademacher. I'm here with the Fisher Body Historical Team, and we're here today with Kirk D. Harris, and he is a toolmaker, tradesman, and we are in the Fisher Body plant, and it was approximately 11:20 on this October 11th, 2005. Good morning. Kirk, would you please tell your name and address for the record?
Kirk D. Harris. I live at 7490 Round Lake Road, and that's in Langsburg, Michigan.
Okay. And are you married?
Yes.
Do you have any children?
I have two children, a boy that's 25 years old and a daughter that's 23 years old.
Do you have any grandchildren yet?
I have one grandchild.
Congratulations. Would you tell us a little bit about your education?
Well, I, of course, graduated from high school, and then when I got into the trade, I attended a few classes at Mid-Michigan Community College, which is up in Harrison, before I got hired in. So I started an auto mechanics curriculum up there. Before I got called to come work at General Motors in Lansing, at Plant 1, Local 652. That's where I originally hired in at. But I was just waiting to be called, and I wanted to get something started, so I started that. But those plans changed real quick.
What was your original hire date?
It was July 26th of 73, so it's been adjusted a little bit from the date that I had on my form there, data sheet, because I was laid off for a period of time after 10 months. Originally hired in at Plant 2, the axle plant. We made the rear differentials for the cars.
You said you went to high school up north.
Yeah.
What brought you to the Lansing area?
Well, my dad originally was a tool maker or a tool designer at Building 40 and 652 local here in Lansing. And he retired in September of 1969. And I was a freshman in high school, so we moved my freshman year up to Farwell, and then I finished my last 3 years of high school up there and graduated from Farwell High School. And my brother was still working here as a toolmaker at Building 40 and the other local.
The other local.
And my dad working here and him, they both kind of prompted me to come down and put my application in, so I did.
A little bit of history to give you a little bit of idea of what the auto industry was like.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about when you hired in here and your first day coming in here.
At Fisher Body or
here at Fisher Body.
Oh, well, I transferred over here a lot later, in 98, summer of 98. I took a paragraph 96 transfer with the instrument panel assembly line when they moved that from Plant 1 over here to Fisher Body. So I brought that paragraph 97 or 96 allows me to bring all my seniority with me, so I was fortunate, very fortunate there.
Did you find different between the facility that you were at and then coming into Fisher Body?
Well, my first impression was that it was smaller, of course, physical. You know, the first thing you see when you walk in the door is the you know, the physical size or you know, and the people seemed to be a lot more friendly. It was more like a I don't know what you want to say, a big family type atmosphere more so. They greeted you more when you came in the door. And the people, you'd never even, it was my first day, and I never even knew any of the people. And they said good morning, even though they didn't know me, which I thought was something that really was one of the first impressions I had that really stuck in my mind.
What department did you go to?
Well, I went to General Assembly. Well, we called it TRIM at the time. And I went to work on the instrument panel. Assembly line of the fixturing there that we had and brought over here, and some of it was new, so a lot of it was new. So
was the work similar to the work that you had done at the other?
Well, yes and no. I mean, it was the same type of work, but because we were introducing the GMX 130 in 99 model year, in 98 we started the, so we were in the process of changing, so that made the jobs change a little bit because it was a different product, you know, it was a redesigned product, so it was different than it would be if we just moved everything right over.
So you came in here on the line. Now you're current job is a toolmaker.
Well, I came over here as a toolmaker.
You came over here as a toolmaker.
Yeah.
You were just assigned to the trim department?
Yes, when I first came. Okay. Well, that was where the job content that they moved from plant one to Fisher Body at the time, you know, came to that area, so I moved with that job content.
So what is a toolmaker?
A toolmaker, it really has a couple of different categories in the toolmaker trade. You have the toolmaker / jig repair was what they were called until we combined trades. It's where you when you're assigned to the floor like I was, you more or less repair the existing equipment. When you're a toolmaker assigned to the tool room, you have more job responsibilities like they change. You're actually making and ordering parts to make new tools that they're going to use in the production or in the trim area or the body area or something. You're basically given a stack of prints, and then you order the steel and actually make it to a finished product, whether you have to have help from a lathe operator or a mill operator. You assign them, and then the job and the part to make the part, and then you assemble it and make it work the way the engineer intended it to be.
So you made tools that assisted the production?
Right, yeah. And that helps make their job easier, inserting grommets or making a grommet tool to insert grommets in areas or that are hard to get at, or making it easier to push a push clip on with an assist, or as complex as making a tool that they pick up an instrument panel off the conveyor and install it in the car. So it's a wide range. That's what kind of makes a toolmaker's trade interesting. And, you know, you have different projects that you're given. They usually end up, you know, being something that is kind of unique, or you make just two or four of, and you know, it's something that lets you be creative a little bit too. So it's real interesting.
Kirk, you said your dad was a toolmaker, your brother was a tool
designer.
A designer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your brother was a toolmaker.
Yes.
And you were a toolmaker. Mm-hmm. Now you said you have a son.
Yes.
Is he considered toolmaking, or is it?
No,
do you wish
he's into the medical field now. He's studying to be a registered nurse.
Okay.
So, a little break in the tradition there.
Is there any other family members that work at Fisher Body in your family or your cousins or?
Not in my immediate family. My brother, my older brother, did work at. I don't think he ever worked at Fisher Body, but he worked at Plant One for a short period of time during the summer when he was getting his degree in engineering at Michigan State. So he worked here a couple of summers, you know, for summer help.
So your experience here at Fisher Body, you said you were able to utilize the bargain, the language that was negotiated. Is the 96 move.
No.
When over half of your work goes, you get to travel with it. Have you found the... Do you ever regret coming over to Fisher Body, or has it been a...
No, it was a pretty good experience. I've made a couple of moves back and forth between... I came from Local 1618, where I originally hired in at, over to 652 local, and there was a little bit of apathy, or you know, resentment, I should say, towards the people that came from Plant 2 to 652. But when I came from 652 local over here to Fisher Body, 602 local, it didn't really seem to be that resentment. Even people that I had passed in seniority with that move never really had the resentment that I thought they would have.
They respected your seniority?
You know, there was maybe one or two people out of the whole, because I went ahead of almost everybody here when I came over. I was number 9, I think, on the seniority list out of 48 or 50 when I first came over here. So I went by a lot of people. And there was only a couple of people that really, you know, made a verbal, verbally resented me. There was probably some that were silent, but they still treated me with respect and everything. So I think it was also the fact that a lot of the tool makers have come from other plants. You know, they've come from full Coldwater Road, you know, Fisher and Coldwater Road and Flint and Detroit. And there were even some guys from Grand Rapids and Kalamazoo that I've worked with. So they're all, a big melting pot here, it seems like. So I think that helped, too, because they'd all been in my shoes at one time or another, you know. And
like other skilled trades, do the toolmakers work in pairs?
Not really, unless it was a large project. You more or less worked on a project by yourself, unless it was heavy enough or, physically it was demanding that there was two people there to help. There's a lot of those projects that were, big rails and stuff where it actually taken two people to install them. So there's many a times you work as a pair or as a team, like three or four people.
You've worked at different assembly or different plants, you said. So what did you see as far as when you came to Fisher Body, how did the tradespeople treat men and women of different color in the trades group?
I never really saw any. It really, over here, it seemed like that we were all one big family. I mean, I never really saw any type of racism whatsoever. It was more of a, I don't want to say a country atmosphere, but it was more of a small, what would you call, small town atmosphere compared to a large city atmosphere. That would be the best comparison I could see. And just like in small cities, racism doesn't seem to be an issue as much as it is in larger cities.
Kurt, are there many women toolmakers?
Over here, there is none. There were a couple of women toolmakers that I never had a chance to work with over here. Where I did come from, you know, where I should put that better so it sounds better. Where I came, the plant I came from, yes, there was four or five women toolmakers that I worked with.
So oftentimes, being a toolmaker, were you able to like help the operators on the line in terms of making the tools for them to work and use on the line?
Over here, more so, because my job assignment was to, you know, to service the tools that were on the line. So that was one of my main job requirements was to try to make the production people's job easier. That was part of our job, really.
So did the operators help you figure out how to make a tool that would be good?
Oh yes,
for them?
Yeah. They had a lot of good suggestions. A lot of very good suggestions that you could use on what they thought they needed. And then I would take it back and try to refine it so that it would, you know, be a durable tool and be something that they could still use.
This plant's recognized as Fisher Body, but it's had many names. When you came over, was it the BOC Buicles Cadillac Group, or was it already the Lansing Car Assembly, LCA?
Well, really, it was in transition, I think, more or less. I think they'd taken down the sign. I don't remember what it said when I first came over here, but they switched the signs out by Saginaw Street. So whatever that was, the last switch they made out there, I think it said BOC. And then it was shortly after I came over here that they did make the change, so it was right. I came over here right about at the transition time. I think that was when they made that transition when we went to the GMX 130.
What do you call the plant today?
Plant 6. That's what everybody refers to it as. So I, you know, it's kind of. Everybody has their own name, I think. A lot of people still call it Fisher Body.
I was going to say, I was wondering, when you put your transfer in, did you say that you were going to Fisher Body?
Yes. Yes. That's what it said on it, as a matter of fact. Fisher Body, Plant 6, I think, is what the paperwork actually said on it.
So now, when you came into the tools and stuff like that, initially via that, the other plant here, did they have, like, initiations for new tools when you came in?
Not really. No, it was...
No real pranks or anything were played on you?
I'm sorry?
No pranks were played on you when you came over?
No, they greeted me real, you know, just like a friend, you know. I mean, they there was nothing, like I say, there was...
Oh, no funny jokes.
No apathy, really, whatsoever, or, you know, resentment, or any type of initiation or nothing, no. Saw anything.
What was the supervisory style from the Fisher Body compared to where the other plants that you'd work?
The people I was introduced to when I first came over here, and of course my first contact was with the union. We called it the chairman of the shop committee. I used to call it the zone. We use the term zone here. Mm-hmm. And the committeemen, the floor committeemen, were the first two people I met. And there was a lot of difference there. And then they took me to the management group. And I could tell right then it was going to be a lot better as far as not using their authority, trying to use their management skills more than just, you know, using their authority and the iron fisted. I was more used to the I'm the boss. I'm your manager. You're going to do what I say, and your opinion doesn't count. Type management. And when you came over here, they more or less said you're going to be the tool maker in General Assembly. Now, we want to give you whatever you need to do your job, and we want you to do it in the way you feel needs to be done. So it was a completely different job, or a completely different management style, I feel.
A lot more respect for the employee and their...
And their opinion. Yeah. A lot more respect for your ability to create what you needed to do, or you needed to do to get the job done. Where I originally came from was they gave you something and they said, we want you to do it this way, which was always never... Well, which, I mean, 90% of the time it was the correct way. It was probably more efficient. But over here, they let you, even though you may go around, you know, you've got different routes of the way you can get to your end result. And you can either go, it's hard to explain. It's, you know, you've got so many different ways you can accomplish what you want to accomplish. So they let you do, as long as you did the right job or did the right thing. Or came up with the right thing was good.
Was there a particular supervisor that you could say was your favorite or employee that you really enjoyed?
The supervisor that I had when I first came in was Joe Trevino. And he was the supervisor that I first met and worked for, and he was the one that, you know, I got the impression from. And Don Davis were the first two people that I met. Well, Don Davis was actually the first person, and then he called Joe Trevino to come up and take me to my work area. And they actually greeted me like friends, not like sitting behind a desk and, you know, had their big iron fist out ready to tell me what to do. They actually greeted you more like a friend or a brother or whatever, rather than, you know, and they helped you out. And they, you know, told you whatever you need. That was, like I said before, there that, you know, whatever you need to get your job done, they were able to. You know, they said if we can, we'll provide it for you, and they did too. It was real, a lot more helpful, I feel.
Did you? You said you found a lot of camaraderie with the employees. Was there any particular coworker that you did a lot of things here in the plant or outside of the plant with?
Well, I've never been one to socialize very much outside of the plant with any of my coworkers. I don't know if it was never because I had anything in common with any of them that I really knew well. There's been a few people that I've met outside, but I've never really associated much with the people that I worked with at a social gathering. But as far as being in here, there's been a couple of tool makers that really went out of their way to be nice to me when I first came in. Even though one person was the one that I had just passed by only a couple of weeks seniority. And he was the person that Joe Trevino put me with to break me in, so to speak, or to help me learn my job or job responsibilities. He was probably the closest friend I had in here.
Did you ever get involved in any of the dinners or lunchtime activities with anyone here?
Yeah.
What kind of things did you do?
Oh, just mostly like the retirement dinners or that. We'd go out, for some special occasion. We'd go over to the bar, go over to Harry's for a lunchtime meal. And that was about it.
That's a pretty common activities amongst all the different groups that we've talked with so far.
Harry's was a pretty good gathering place for everybody.
Now, in your time that you were here, can you talk a little bit about the changes that you've seen happen as far as your job and the facility itself, some of the changes that you've noticed over the time frame that you've been here?
Well, when I first got here, I noticed that sanitation seemed to keep the plant real nice, a lot better than what I was used to. Of course, I was used to a machining operation more so than what we have over here. So it was a dirtier operation over to Plant 1. And some of the areas I gotten moved to when we started our reductions over there, like the engine plant out of Plant 5, was a lot dirtier. But sanitation always seemed to... the thing I noticed that really stuck in my mind was sealing the floors. We never did that. And sanitation, every weekend, it seemed like they were, you know, cleaning and sealing different areas of the plant. And it was on a ongoing cycle. But we kind of, in the last year or two, dropped that, you know, with the closing of the plant and everything. So that kind of went away. That's one thing that stuck in my mind. It was one of the first things when I first came over here that I really thought was kind of neat.
For the people who may not know what that is, could you explain what sealing the floor with sanitation is?
Well, what they would do is they would come in on a weekend and they would rope off an area, an aisleway, mostly the aisleways. They did some work areas on that, but then they would take a scrubber, one of our power scrubbers, and they would clean the floor and try to get it as clean as possible and free of grease and oil and everything. And then they would go over it and seal it with almost looked like a lacquer. It was so shiny. And then the aisleways, I always liked those aisleways after they did that. They seemed brighter and actually made you feel a little bit better, I felt, you know, because it was actually clean and shiny and didn't look new, but it was different, I guess.
Clean and shiny.
How do you feel when you look around now, being one of the few people that are still here in the building and all the machines and the people and most of the stuff is gone? What are your feelings on the building and what you see around you now?
Well, I have a hard time. I have a hard time coming back into the plant. The first time I came back in, when we shut down June 6th or May 6th, I stayed on working. I didn't take a layoff or anything. And I went. They moved me right into the early involvement or the Delta project. So I was away for a few weeks with the schooling and everything that they send you through, and they started out with my GMS right away. So and that. So I was away for probably 3 weeks without coming back in. And then when I came in, it was almost like walking It felt to me like a graveyard, really. I mean, there was a lot of it was dark and dingy, and there wasn't, you know, even the people that were here that you met, they weren't as happy and smiling or anything like it was. It was almost like somebody had died. That's what the way it kind of felt, really. Or something, I should say, somebody, but something had died. And, you know, just a sad time.
So
it felt a lot different.
Kurt, you said that you're working with the Delta Project.
Yes.
And that is, Delta Project is what?
As the new plant.
Okay.
The,
and so you're going to be, so how does it feel to be able to maybe close the doors of one plant while you open the doors of another?
Well, it was a big help to go right to that program because, you know, you didn't have that feeling of loss for very long because you knew that there was a new beginning right around the corner. So, it feels good to be able to start something that soon after the closing of the other plant or this plant. But I still have bittersweet memories of the old style, which and everything. It's kind of hard to get into the feel of things. As soon as you start seeing, I guess I see the first car go down the line out there, first vehicle go down the line out there, I think I'll really know that something's happening.
Will you be in the same job title?
Yes.
At the new facility?
Yes. No, I'll be a toolmaker out there.
And will your job responsibilities be the same? Will they change in any way from what you had in this facility?
I think with the, you know, introduction of GMS, which is a global manufacturing system, all of our jobs are probably going to change a lot, it looks like. It's going to be hard to see. As a matter of fact, right after this meeting, I have another meeting to go to on our job, what our team leader and group leader jobs are going to look like. That's what the meeting is I'm going to go to after this one. So that's all going to be redefined as a lot different and everything. So it's going to be a big change.
Did you ever have, through your trade, a project that you remember as, say, your best job, something that you did or created out of your tool-making skills that you really saw the rewards with for somebody in the plant?
Well, you mean over here or at my, any of the tool-making?
Well, preferably here. Is there anything you did here? Or?
Well, some of the, we've made some refinements and stuff in machines for the body shop, and I was involved with working through overtime with working on those, and some of the machines we created or enhancements for machines that we created were real interesting. But the most satisfying job I had was over at Plant 1. 652 was working in experimental. That was really, worked in experimental for about 7 or 8 years before they moved that to Pontiac. And that was probably, I mean, I actually look forward to going to work every day there because you were working with, you know, products 2 or 3, 4 years down the road and helping the designers and the engineers that were, you know, designing the future vehicles. That was really interesting to work with.
You said you had a family background of General Motors employees. I was just curious, what type of vehicle do you drive? Do you drive any of the products that you built, or?
Yes, I have. As a matter of fact, I have a 1976 Oldsmobile that I still, a Cutlass that I still have stored. And we drove Cutlasses, or we drove Oldsmobiles right up until we had a 2000 Lero. And we both at the time, now my wife drives a Chevy Trailblazer and I drive a Silverado pickup. But we also have a Pontiac Trans Am that we have stored also. So we're a General Motors family, definitely.
What is the most appreciated bargain benefit that you've come to appreciate through the bargaining process with the UAW and the corporation?
Well, that's a hard one to think. There's so many. It's hard to pick the best one. I would say probably it's really not very glamorous until you have a problem or where you really need it. But I would say the medical benefits, I think, are probably the most practical and the best. And you know, would be the biggest money saver if ever you had a real serious, you know, medical issue.
Absolutely. I do know that the only thing greater than making a good wage is having your health. So
yeah.
As we get older and closer to our retirement, I know that's a real concern of ours. You said when you hired in here that you were greeted by your zone committee and district committee man,
mm-hmm.
and you said you felt a rapport with when you were taken to meet management by them. Can you talk about your union, 602, and did you go to union meetings?
I never really went to many union meetings until I got involved with the in the Delta Township program. Because I was always, the things that I was involved with outside of the shop didn't lend very well to the union meeting dates. That's probably really no excuse. I should have made now that I see what goes on with the union and everything, I see more, should have made more time for that. But, you know.
Well, as you say that, what do you see now with the union that you feel that maybe you missed a part of?
I guess the whole democratic procedure that goes on there really is really good to be involved with. Being able to vote and make decisions and your vote actually counts. And actually being able to stand up in an open meeting and address concerns or needs. As I get older, I feel more and more involved with that type of stuff because I can actually see, when you're younger, you don't take that into consideration as much, and I don't think you appreciate the benefits that the unions negotiated for you as much until you get older.
On the same note, is there any words of wisdom that you would offer anyone that's young that's maybe going to be coming into General Motors or our new plant? We may be hiring new people at some point. Is there any words of wisdom that you would maybe pass on to them?
Well, I feel that knowing what I've been through, the best thing I ever did was to start going back to school and get into the trades. Not because there's more money involved or anything. That, I mean, that's a nice benefit. But it seems like the more training I got, the more secure my job got. When I was on production, when I first hired in, it didn't seem like there was that much there to keep me there. But as soon as I started getting more training, and when I got accepted into the apprenticeship program, it just seems like General Motors is investing more and more money in me, and it made my job more and more secure the more I learned. So I guess that's what I would suggest, you know, somebody's to get involved with bettering yourself as soon as possible, to try to work up the ladder, whether it be in management or either whatever, or engineering or whatever they feel the most draw to, would be to try to get move up the ladder in General Motors as quick as possible.
So actually, you think that they should utilize that UAW deemed negotiated benefit of the education tuition refund?
Oh, definitely. That's a very good resource to use. I've used it. My family's used it. So it's a very good benefit.
Kirk, you said you didn't attend union meetings because it didn't fit into your schedule outside of here. Did your trade, the skills you have, carry over outside of the plant? Have you done things in your community with the knowledge that you've got through your trade, that either in your communities or something you do for your neighbors or something like that, where you've seen your trade actually help others outside of here?
Oh, yeah. I've worked with the vocational department at our local school, a VOTEC instructor. I worked with him quite a bit when my children were in high school.
That'd be Lanesburg?
Yes. And I much as got him got the kids some tours through the departments and stuff and into a room and that. So worked with that, and also I've helped my neighbors quite a bit because I have a few old machines that I picked up over the period of years, and I do a little bit of work in the garage for people. Plus, with things I did, for entertainment, I really, really used a lot of my trade experience.
Well, we've
worked with racing model boats and then we raced. When my kids got a little older, they both raced quarter midgets for us. So we owned a race team for a while, and that's when we'd be traveling every weekend when we were doing that kind of thing.
So that'd be a lot of fun.
Right now I'm flying radio-controlled airplanes, so I use a lot of my trade to build. I make most of my own parts, so I use just about every weekend I use my trade that I learned in here.
Well, that's wonderful. Is there any question you feel we haven't asked of you? Is there something you'd like to share that we haven't touched on?
Not that I can really think of. No, you're pretty thorough.
Anybody have anything? Okay. Well, it's been a wonderful opportunity to meet you, Kirk, and we appreciate your time and your interview today.
Yeah.
Good luck
Thank
in
you.
Your new endeavors at the Delta plant.
Yep. Yeah. Do our best. Thank you.
The name of the interviewers?
Doreen Howard.
Linda Johnson.
Marilyn Coulter.
And Doug Rademacher.
Thank you.
Bye. I forgot to do that at the start.